Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up, everybody? You know, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse with you, and what is going on? Hell of a U.S. Open tournament. Father's Day weekend, and last week extremely interesting at some of the things that happened as we like to look back and see what was the actual events that occurred, and of course more BS and more crap, and I think that's more of the new way, the new way of doing things. We continue to lie, cheat, and steal. We've got after the tragic shooting of Scalise, and of course, right afterwards, they're one nice words, and then boom, right back to battle. And I don't care who you voted for, I don't care who you support, but I do believe that at some point in time, we need to move forward and get past this. And I think that this has become way, way too much ridiculous and too much BS. And if you think it's for anything else, but what? It's about the money, all right? This is what it's coming down to. Okay, you can tell me that the Democrats and the left are so concerned about the people that that's what they're doing. And you can tell me the right, they're so concerned about their people. Let's face it, kids. This is about the money, all right? Whichever side, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, all right? Now, you've got a big problem because you can't see the tension that is growing in this country. If you can't see, and fueled by, partly, I would say more fueled by the left. Okay, and not because I'm anti-left, because I'm not. I'm more center, right? But fueled by the left because of the way that they're treating this whole thing. Every other day it's impeachment, all right? And I don't know what we're impeaching for yet. But in the meantime, the entire country, from a working standpoint, from government, has come to a halt. Now, that's the issue, because we don't have... either side. Again, I don't pick either side. They're all, as far as I'm concerned, you could fire them all and start over. All right, but it doesn't matter what you have on either side right now. Right now, what you've got is a mess, because the entire government basically is almost shut down because we've got guys worried about impeaching Trump. You've got Comey. You've got all these special hearings. When are they going to take care of me and you? That's what I want to know, okay? I want to know, when are they going to take care of the people that they're supposed to be taking care of? And that, to me, becomes the bigger question, is where are they and why aren't they doing their job, all right? Now, tell me out there, seriously, and please write to me if you want. Does anybody really care about what Comey did or did not do and why he got fired? Okay, if you do, I'd love to know. I don't care. I mean, again, I'm concerned about, myself, and I'm concerned about my family, and I'm concerned about the people that I know in the middle class. And that had nothing to do with any of us. All right. If you don't think that there's things that are going on, throughout on any side, then you should probably think again. So, again, I'm concerned about money. I'm concerned about how much taxes I have to pay. I'm concerned about health care. I'm concerned about getting a tax cut. All right. I could give a crap about what Jim Comey did or did not do. I don't think that they handled the first part right back when he was with Clinton. I don't think he handled the second part right when he came out right before the election. And I don't think he handled this right. But again, what do I care? It's not anything that's going to affect the bottom line. if you think that the spy stuff and the stuff like that is ever going to change, well, I mean, again, you need to think again, because it's not going to change so fast. But the things that can be affected and the things that we're taking our eye off the ball is how are we going to get growth? How are we going to get this country back into growing and being able to take care of all of our people? How are we going to get to that position where we don't have these problems? And I think that is the bigger story. Okay, that is the story that we don't get in. And again, I think that this is where you make the mistake, all right, of thinking that, you know, well, you know, it's okay. Well, it's not okay. And this is where we have to get away from the swamp, so to speak, because the things that they're focusing on are really just taking our eye off the ball of what we need them to be focusing on. Okay? I mean, we need them to be focusing on getting us growth, getting us good health care. And they're not. In the meantime, supposedly they're doing everything that is supposedly good for us. All right? In the meantime, they're sticking it up our potatoes. And that becomes, I think, the bigger problem. I this is where you don't you don't get it. And this is where we have a much bigger problem, okay? Because we don't get it, and we allow it to continue to go on over and over again. When we allow them to do these things, okay? And again, I think that you're making the mistake by not, you know, focusing. And that's kind of like, you know, keep us focused on the impeachment proceedings, Loretta Lynch, who probably should go to jail, Jim Comey. But when the real things that we should be paying attention to are what's going on, how are we going to get tax cuts, how are we going to get health care, and how are we going to get the free markets to work again? I think that is the problem, okay? And I'm really concerned that, you know, we can't keep our eye on the ball here, because if we had our eye on the ball, we wouldn't have the issues that we have here, and we wouldn't be allowing these clowns in the swamp to get along and get away with all the BS that they do. Because think about it, they're just stealing your money and my money, of course. But I mean, do you ever think about it that way? Look at the amount of money that they earn. Look at all their spiffs, where here you've got the entire middle class under the guise, under the gun, and let alone you've got, they haven't changed, all right? But they can spend our money to have ridiculous trials and ridiculous hearings that make no sense. I mean, you know, again, it's a screwed up system, and it kind of pisses me off. And I hope it pisses you off as well, okay? Because, you know, I just think that it's something that needs to be taken care of, all right? And again, that's, to me, the bigger problem, that we can't seem to keep our eye on the ball. And, you know, that's just the whole deal. So, you know, anyways, Bubba Show listeners, you know, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Personally, I recommend Fed Up by our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth. And all you need to do is go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show and check it out. That's Fed Up at audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. In the meantime, make sure that you download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, that's done by Xander right now. And lastly, but not leastly, Bubba's Bottom Line is available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Don't miss it. Go check it out and go check out my blog for today. You have a good time, and I'm on a roll. The Bubba Show, Tom O'Rourke. We're going to stop our break. We'll be right back with more.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horrors with you. And of course, what would one of my shows be without talking about some of the fear-monger jackasses out there that continue to create the fear all in the name of getting into your wallet. Did you ever wonder, you know, why they create such fear? Nobody believes what they're saying. I mean, you know, would all of a sudden, you know, you continue to cry wolf and all of a sudden it happens? I mean, I heard quotes over the weekend. This is the most, what was the exact quote? The most hideously overvalued market in history. Really? Okay. I mean, and maybe it is. I mean, I certainly agree that it's overvalued, but I certainly don't think that the world is coming to an end. I think that, you know, you have a market that needs a good, healthy correction because, again, when you have a Federal Reserve that continues to print free money and allow banks to create money as well, okay, all you are doing is diluting what everybody else owns. So it's by dilution, all right? And, you know, so the people that continue to try to peddle the fear, okay, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be concerned. I'm just saying that, you know, the world ain't coming to an end. And to have these guys and gals spit out fear, and let alone they get primetime spots on major networks as well, which is, I think, a total joke, okay? You know, I mean, here's guys that don't even have their own skin in the game, but they do have something to sell. So they want to get, you know, get that FaceTime so that you can go to the internet and check them out and buy what they're trying to sell. And again, you know, this goes back to the, you know, 08, 09, the dollar is not going to be the reserve currency, the destruction. And that was the big program then. And of course, I guess it's still the reserve currency. Okay, look, all right, we have a lot of issues. We do not have true free markets and true price discovery right now. But we can't adjust around it. And we aren't going to be destructed. And the United States of America is not bust. It should be, okay, the way that we print money and we don't follow a budget. But at the end of the day, again, markets, goes back for, you know, forever. Markets will collapse and have corrections. But to try to predict ridiculous numbers is again, more of what I would call moronic. Right? It's not even from the intelligence scheme to make a stupid prediction like the Dow is going to 3,000. Now, could it get there? Yeah, I'm not saying it won't ever get there. But, you know, do you think that there's going to be areas between 21 and 3,000 before it stops going down? So, you know, to get these over bloated, idiotic, big statements that the world is coming to an end, and that chicken little, the sky is falling, is about as dumb and about as ridiculous. And I cannot believe that they get this FaceTime. And I laugh and marvel at the idiocy of people that then actually believe these people. And it's just, again, we've heard it. How many times do we want to hear it? You know, if I keep telling you that something's going to happen, if it happens, I'm going to be right. But do you realize that if you'd have listened to these guys going back to, 9, 10, 11, 12, that they've been calling for this for 8 years, 7 years. Right? And here we are at all-time highs. Again, you have to understand how markets work. Not try to grab off of the fear of innocent victims that, you know, listen to you because I respect your opinion, because I don't realize that your opinion is strictly designed to sell them something. All right. I mean, it's to a point where it's sad that we allow this to go on, because all you have is fear mongers. And of course, we all know that people are driven by emotions. And so if you can scare me enough, it's like trying to scare me enough to buy insurance or scare me enough to do something else. It's just, I don't know. I find it in very bad taste. But of course, a lot of it has to do with that we do not have the true free market system working right now, which is another problem. Without it, you're going to continue to have these issues show up, which is, you know, you have the plea for inflation. You know, well, why are we having a plea for inflation? Because we don't let markets trade freely. Okay, you don't think that assets are smart enough to price themselves, because the assets aren't doing the pricing, the buyers and sellers are doing the pricing. But apparently, the MBs from the Fed, okay, the economists who have no clue, that they'll tell you 15 years from now that we were in a bubble, but they won't tell you now because they have no idea. But they're gonna, you know, they continue to try to manipulate the price, and really, we're gonna have, you know, total manipulation. I believe that what you're gonna see here is the meltdown, because you're not allowing the markets to freely trade. I think you have a markets that you don't have inflation because you have too much manipulation. Because you've totally destroyed the free world with your stupid policies, okay? You've allowed so much money to be printed and so much debt to be created that how are you ever going to get out? You know, when you, if you go back to, you know, 80 with Greenspan, the first initial bubble builder, you've improved. You've gotten bigger bubble builders every single time who believe in that you can continue to try to borrow your way out of debt. And, of course, we know that that story never ends well. And here you have a big situation of, we would say, a major mess, because they have printed themselves into oblivion. They've allowed the banks to print themselves into oblivion. And make no mistake, fractional banking is just the same as printing money, just like the Federal Reserve. You know, if you can loan out 9 to what your supposed reserve is, well, aren't you creating money? So if you continue to run this show and keep making dollars worth less for everybody else, what do you end up with? You end up with a mess. And that's the mess we have, because you have the inability of the people that are running the show to, they can't seem to let it go and let the markets trade by true price discovery. Just like interest rates, I said this earlier. Now, peer-to-peer lenders, they've managed to do a pretty goddamn big business, okay? I mean, they've got a big monster business going. And why? Because they let the markets price themselves. They suck you in with a low teaser rate. And then by the time you fill out the app, they tell you, well, it's going to be 8, 9, 10, 11%, whatever it is. And, you know, most people will say yes, but if not, maybe they'll negotiate with you. In the meantime, they get rates. All right, and they're getting a hell of a lot more than that's on the street. And I guarantee you that we could get a lot higher rates. I would say to you that we could have some inflation if we could have some growth. All right, you know, we don't need any more money manipulation. We don't need any more scams by the legalized Ponzi scheme that's being run. What we need is a real market for real people that allows the system to work. All right, you know, we don't need the OPECs of the world trying to dictate price. We don't need the Feds of the world trying to manipulate for inflation. What we need is the true free market to work. And if there's a problem, then let the free market wash it out. Okay? You know, those that are weak should not be around anyways. You know, the weak banks should have been letting go to bust. That's the problem that we're seeing here. And this is where we don't have the ability and have not been fair to everybody, is by bailing out the big banks, because they're just crooks anyways. Okay, look, do you think that the things that they do are straight up and on the line? I can't prove anything, purely opinion, purely speculation, but I know that the big whale trade was done more than once. They got caught once. I know that Wells Fargo did things for a long time. They only got caught once. Again, nobody ever believes that these are the smartest people in the world. And these guys know how to work the system. And basically, they tell the regulators to go F off, and they don't have to worry about what the regulators say. Right? Because they just pay their fine and move on. In the meantime, they made billions of dollars. And that's the deal. So that to me is a bigger problem. You know, and that's what I see is the bigger problem. I mean, again, I need to have the markets to work freely by themselves. And until we get that, I think you've got a disaster and a mess in the makings, but fixable. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And of course, you get Bubba's Bottom Line, which is my new, soon to be award winning Emmy show, Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrain.com. We'll be right back after the break with more, and we'll have Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the ace analyst for The Bubba Show. And, of course, Matt, what's up? And happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you. Everything's good. And we're starting to get some interesting market action. So,
yeah, what do you think? What is interesting? Explain to me, and I got a couple questions here, but explain to me what you're seeing and what's interesting about what's going on.
Well, the NASDAQ, you know, looks like it's, you know, either I think the NASDAQ has a good chance that it's peaked. I have an alternative target higher, but either way, it came close enough and it came to a place where I thought, you know, that was a good spot for a top, at least for the NASDAQ 100. I don't know about the NASDAQ composite. That's the one where I think we could get a little bit higher potentially, but I certainly wouldn't count on it. The other index that we've talked about that I'm looking for is the NYSE composite. I want to see it get about 1.6% higher. I think we'll see a higher high there. We'll probably get a little bit more in the S&P and Dow, but not much.
Okay, so you're looking for some higher action, but not a lot. Is that kind of it?
That's basically it. I think there's a good chance that the NASDAQ 100 and the Russell 2000 are done. The Russell 2000 hit another declining target that I was looking for, the third of three on June 9th. So, you know, I think that one's done. Russell's done. Euro Stoxx 50 is done. And probably NASDAQ 100's done. There's a little bit of small amount of room left in the others. So,
all right. So, so now, you know, just because they're done going up, does that mean they're going to go down right away?
No, and that's the thing. I mean, that's why I'm looking for, I'm waiting for the NYSE to move up to, it's about 11,960 as of today. So once I see that happen, once we get to about 11,960 in NYSE, and anyway, that's a declining line. It declines by about 12 points per week. So, you know, whenever those, that price and that line up, when they hit, then I'll be, you know, more than willing to add broad stock short exposure.
Now, I know that you don't necessarily follow things this way, but, you know, as you look back at last week, and we had, of course, the Fed, and I thought it was pretty interesting. The bonds were exploding, which you had actually called, you know, earlier, and when they were way lower, and you said they'd go higher. The bonds are exploding, and the dollar had really very virtually no strength, and the market's going up, which is really not logical from that standpoint. But yet, it continued to happen. You take anything away from that?
Well, in long term bonds, so TLT is right at made it up to this rising pivot area that you know, I'm watching very carefully. So if we, in TLT, if we pop above 127.50, then I think it just, you know, just keeps going. But on daily indicators, it is overbought. It's at a two pivot resistance lines that are at a junction. So I think bonds, I'm leaning bearish on bonds now. We've had the move up, and I think it's probably nearing an end. But what I'm saying is, right here I would be short, and if we break above 127.50, I'd change my tune and I'd probably switch to long.
Right, I understand. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's just you know, the logic behind, you know, if the Fed is hiking your rates, then the bond should not be going straight up as well, but they have been. And
right.
That's been an interesting look. So, and of course, then we tie the dollar in here, and the dollar, I know that you got a little bit bullish, or we're getting ready to get bullish the dollar. But I, you know, last week's rally was not very solid based on, you know, you would think it should have done based on where we were and everything else going on. What's your take of the dollar?
Yeah, it's interesting. The dollar, I still don't think it's bottomed. I don't think the euro has topped. You know, still looking for 114, actually a little bit higher now, 114 and some change in the euro. So that should mean some weakness in the dollar. The commercials have started to lighten up a little bit in their dollar short position, but they're still a very big short, you know, they're still very net short. So they're going to want to, you know, cover a lot of that. They have a lot more to cover before they would be done with their dollar short. So, yeah, I'm still looking for lower levels in the dollar. It might even, you know, I'm looking for 95, the 95 to 96 zone is where it should bottom. But it could go even a little bit lower, go down to, I think, about as low as 93, and I still wouldn't have a problem with it.
My target, 94. There you go.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
All right, so you know, so again, all these things are going on, and of course, that doesn't make logical sense if you put gold in. I mean, a falling dollar or a weaker dollar and weaker gold all of a sudden, I mean, because gold kind of hit 1,300 almost, and then just kind of fell out of bed, right?
Yeah, gold's actually a really tough read right now. It's actually on support, and it didn't really hit strong resistance to the upside, so it didn't complete a pattern that I have. So I'm thinking gold has one you know, minor leg higher back to the highs of a couple weeks ago, and we get to about, say, 1310, 1315, and then we see a much bigger sell off.
All right. So, and what about silver? Silver's been really pathetic lately.
Silver's on a rising support or very close to it. On a price support, when I look at the indicators, they're not dramatically oversold. They're more neutral than anything, and that makes me think we might have, you know, we might get a bounce here. I think that would be logical, but you know, we break much lower, and suddenly we're looking at targets that are much lower. We're looking at targets that are back down, you know, in the, you know, the lows of a year ago when we were in the 13s.
Wow.
So I think silver, I think we certainly get a bounce out of it here, and gold. But I think the next big leg is going to be to the downside.
All right. Well, again, you've kind of been on that. It's been drifting back and forth. And, you know, so when we look at the bigger picture, you know, we're kind of still a little bit wishy-washy here. Do you expect these trends to come? Because I know the VIX, you're still waiting for a lower target as well, although it does rise, right, every week.
Right. It rises every week, but it's about 65 cents a month. So, yeah, per week, call it, you know, 15 cents or so. Or 15, you know,
I got you.
Basis points, whatever. We're about 755, 760 is the target we have in the VIX. Yeah, and it's rising. So whenever VIX reaches down and touches that line, we're going to be expecting massive volatility after that. By the way, on the gold and silver, I don't enjoy saying that gold and silver are going to go lower. I am really tired of this bear market, and I wanted to, you know, I'd like to see gold and silver go higher. I'd like to be a buyer soon, but I just, you know, I have to do what the charts say.
Right. No, but you do own gold, don't you?
I own physical yeah. silver myself. Yeah, but yeah. I don't have anything on in SLV or silver futures or anything like that.
No, you own it for long term. You're not looking at it from the charting standpoint. I mean, you don't trade your long-term holds like you would trade as you're trading the market, right? I mean, you're going to hold that. That's just what you think. And I don't have a problem with it. I think that's, I tell everybody that's something, everybody should have some representation of other asset classes just to, check it out. So speaking of other asset classes, did you sell some Bitcoin last week?
Yeah.
You reached your target, didn't you?
Yeah, once we broke over 3,000, we got close enough to my target that there wasn't a point in waiting. You could wake up the next morning and find out your target got hit and you missed it. So yeah, we sold about 10% of what we had at just over 3,000. So we were happy with that. It's one of those things where no matter what you do, you're never gonna be happy, because either you sell. And then it goes up and you say, oh, gee, I shouldn't have sold any. Or you sell 10% like we did, and then it drops and you think, damn, I should have sold more. So you're never really quite, satisfied. But it was, I think, the right thing to do.
So. I think you buy it back. You could immediately bought it back for $2,500,
right.
Like in a day.
Exactly.
I mean, you and I talked about that. I mean, we knew it was going to have, again, whether it was going to go straight up. I mean, it might go to $10 billion. I have no idea, but it might. But from just a pure technical standpoint, which is what you're trading on, mm-hmm. it figured it would sell off a little bit from there, and then it'll make a decision. And I think right now at that $2,500 level, it's probably a pretty key spot. I know it was a little bit below there, but at the end of the day, there's the old story, the old trader story, Matt. You're never long enough when they're going up. You're never short enough when they're going down. And that will always remain the case, because, again, obviously we have that mentality to sit here and do this. But, we're with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. He is the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis and has a lot of his own proprietary methods. I urge you to check out DemeterResearch.com. Again, he comes on every week, and at the beginning of the week, he gives us a heads up for his views. So you got a lot of good opinions. And again, his stuff is all done, we'll call it scientifically, because he's also a chemist. So make sure that you check out DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you want to download the show every single day. You go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends, and the brand new hit sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line, which I do once a week, is available to you at bubbatrading.com. Make sure you go check it out and give it a view, because it's a lot of fun. And I actually, of course, you guys know I always throw in my opinion on something, but I have a good opinion piece always at the end of the show. So go check it out. This is The Bubba Show. We are with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more from Matt after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the experts for The Bubba Show. Comes by at the beginning of the week, gives us the information. All right, Matt, so you and I have been talking about the grain space a lot, and we talked about wheat, and we both like wheat for quite a while, and finally wheat exploded Thursday, Friday. What do you think? Do you think that wheat maybe sells off a little bit here and gives you another chance to step in and buy? I mean, obviously pretty big move in the wheat space.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit overbought on short-term indicators, but I don't really have a problem with it. I think it can continue to go higher. So as of right now, I wouldn't be surprised to see a pullback, but I think it freed itself of a major bearish pattern, and that's the main thing to me. So, there's probably a lot more upside left to it. The only thing that, is still a major concern for me is that soybeans, and we'll leave corn aside, but soybeans definitely have not hit their bottom. So if you're going to get weakness, in soybeans, I have to wonder if, wheat is not going to be dragged down a little bit by that.
Well, I think that, it's actually changed courses. I think that's kind of been pretty evident. I mean, I've been, in agreement with you, and I say, I think wheat's going to the mid fives. That's my call. December wheat will be in the mid fives. And, again, I'm bullish corn. You're not. And we both have the same opinion on soybeans. So, again, I think we'll see. I would have no problem with that happening. And, of course, Cattle got slaughtered a little bit last week, but the hogs, they just, you know, it's like they're like in that 80 to 83 level. You know, I know you use the cow ETF, but they're in like that 80 to 83. They just don't move. They just sit there and grind every day back and bum, bum, bum. And it's just interesting. Now, I know you've been bullish in this space, and cow's been working its way higher. What, you looking for higher yet?
Yeah, still looking for higher levels. I think, you know, we were waiting for a buy point, and I think we've probably gotten close enough that we're willing to buy with a close stop. You know, again, yeah, I'm using the cow ETF just because it's much easier for me to chart. It doesn't cause me any distortions. And the level right where we are, which is about 20, say I'd be happy buyer at 24, or, you know, right around where we are, 2460 something. That'd be fine. But then a move up to, we have resistance at in mid 27s, and then up in the 29s, and then I think we'll get a pretty massive sell off. So this is sort of like you know, we're not at an exact, but we're not at a, you know, bear market bottom. We're not at a major resistance yet. So this is a reasonable place to get long. We have minor support here, and in the cow ETF. So that means one of the two, either hogs or cattle or both, need to move up. So I'd be a buyer.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm looking to be a seller. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sell cattle at these levels. I mean, they've got hammered. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been bearish those, but hogs, they're just torturing me to no end. But so what's going on with the commitment of traders? What's looking like in the futures and in the volatility indexes?
Well, with the futures, with the stock index futures, they've added shorts, pretty much across the board, with the exception of the NASDAQ 100, because, you know, we've had a pullback, and they cover shorts into weakness, which is what they got. And but they're still heavily short. They're still four to one short NASDAQ futures. They added a lot to their Russell 2000 short position. They added some to their S&P short position. They just, you know, it was basically neutral on on Dow, but they had a, you know, close to a record short position in the Dow anyway. So they're short across the board. They've added to anything that moved up. And in volatility, they were buyers. We're near an extreme level in their holding of VIX futures. So they're close to 100,000 contracts long, which is what I would consider extreme. So, you know, they're poised for lower markets and higher volatility again, which they've been on, you know, more or less for a while, but now we're, you know, closer to the extreme levels.
No, I get that. And of course, that's, you know, typically you would expect to move up the extreme. I thought that, you know, the action and volatility last week was pretty weak, you know, based on, you know, some things that's going on. And of course, the NASDAQ had some, you know, obviously some really big juicy moves, and of course turned on a dime and, you know, rallied back from lows, but still was lower. Do you expect to see this kind of, is this what we're looking for? Is this the kind of action we're looking for pretty much across the board? Higher volatility and more action now as we kind of pushed either upper levels or now start to break down on some of these other futures?
Well, I hope so, but I don't know that we're going to, you know, we kind of have a mixed picture, like I said. I mean, you know, with some indices having already peaked and some not having peaked yet, that means that I don't think we see yet a major volatility spike just yet. I think, you know, these positions will just continue to build probably for a few more weeks or months. And then, you know, when we're looking for, you know, really huge volatility, we're still waiting for that bigger pattern that I spoke about, where we have that rising line still in the sevens for the VIX.
Right.
So I would like to just see more, you know, day-to-day action. That would be great. But I don't think we're going to get, you know, the massive, you know, volatility and massive selling in stocks just yet. I think we're still waiting on that.
Now, of course, oil continues to get thrashed and seems to have no bottom. Of course, you and I both know there'll be a bottom here sometime soon, you know, and whether it'll be just a dead cat bounce or it'll be the actual bottom. But of course, you know, one of the things I've been talking about all week is that, you know, that's one of the problems when you have markets that are trying to be manipulated. through price and don't pay attention to the actual technicals of the market, you get some weird action. And of course, that's why I think we're continuing to go lower and break down some levels. Are you a buyer of oil anytime here soon?
Yeah, I'm starting to turn a little more bullish. You know, the where we're looking for support to come in is in the high 42s, so about 42.90 in August futures. As of right now, it's rising about 5 to 10 cents per day. Actually, sorry, it's a bit much. It's about 5 cents per day. So, yeah, here I think I'd rather be a buyer than a seller. I'm looking for at least a bounce, and then, you know, we'll switch to being bearish if we get back up to the high 40s or low 50s.
And is there any anything out there that you're focusing on specifically, any of the commodities? Or I know you like the euro, but you know you like the euro up to what, 114? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that had a little bit of heat last week, but of course, you know, obviously, this is titled a little bit of a sell off. I mean, for crying out loud, it goes straight up, so you have to get some selling. Is there anything special out there that you're looking at that is kind of catching your eye?
Well, the thing, the market that I have the most conviction on is the Euro Stoxx 50, which, you know, peaked right before the French election, or the day after the French election, for about 5 minutes after the open. That market, I don't see a whole lot of hope for it. I would just be a seller into any sort of strength. We have a very clean stop in the Euro Stoxx, which is at currently at 36.26. So anything over that, just say 36.25, we'd be short, and we won't get out until 36.25 is crossed, and that's a declining stop out level. So that's where our highest conviction is.
You've been on all the markets and pretty good, pretty much on top of almost everything. So again, it's summer. Does that change anything, the way you do things? I know you just chart, but does a lower volume or lower activity, does that change the way you do things, or is it just purely the price action?
It's purely the price action. I mean, every you know, sort of the seasonality issue, it's different every year. I mean, I think summer tends to be a little bit slower, and I'd be fine with that. But from some perspectives, but you know, two summers ago, we had that massive sell off in August.
Right.
That was, and we could get something like that this time too. It just depends on how quickly that, you know, that we can get down on VIX to our target. But yeah, I'm just waiting for certain price levels, and whenever they hit, I don't care what month it is, that's when we'll go.
No, I'm with you again. Look, listen. I can't remember when it was, but whatever it was, we had 1 week in August. Every day was 400 points up or down. So, yeah. You know, we do get those kind of days. But unfortunately, today is over for you, Mr. Demeter. Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his site. Matt, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Todd, thanks. It's always great to be here.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Of course, that was our guy, Matt Demeter, our technical expert, who is higher grade than anything else. Just remember, I said that. You can trust me on that. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, don't forget Bubba's Bottom Line. That'll do it for today, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a good day. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Turn the noise down. Let the soul.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.